Thank you, Howard, for reading our gospel lesson this morning. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. How many of you, by a show of hands, know the song, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus"? Okay, we have a couple people. Now, for those who have raised their hand, how many of you learned those at summer camp? I was just curious, or sang them at summer camp. We have Michael has sang that at summer camp. It's amazing how these children's songs sometimes, or we sing them here in worship, they're so simple, they stick with you, but they can have some deep meaning if we really look at it. And this is one of those songs. And if you don't know the song, I'm going to teach it to you. That's what I do, right? And so it goes like this. For those who know it, I would love support. So I'm going to sing it to you. And you might remember it once I sing it. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Now, for me, this was a camp song, so there are hand motions that go with it that my brother made that we use throughout our camp experience. So I'm going to do the hand motions. So those who know it, you're welcome to sing it. Those who want to be brave and try the hand motions with me are welcome to. So it goes like this. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. I love that one. No turning back. Decided to follow Jesus, no turning back.
Do you know the second verse?
We're not going to get that today, Michael, but one day we will. One day we will. So along with being a catchy song that I guarantee someone will be singing all week, and for that you're welcome, it also speaks to a deep commitment. In the liturgy of baptism, where the parents and the church community promise to walk with their child and to teach them the ways of Jesus, it is the recommitment of confirmation where we say, yes, we indeed want to follow Jesus. It is the commitment we make every time we break bread together and every time we worship and we say our prayers, even at home in silence. Deciding to follow Jesus, which is a real and serious commitment to joining Christ and joining God in God's work and all that we do. No matter what happens, we are told to never turn back. Like all commitments in life, the easiest part is saying yes. Yes, I have decided to follow Jesus, or just sign your name here, fill out these forms, and you begin work on Monday. Or repeat after me. Do you take this person to be your partner in sickness and health? I do. It is so easy to say yes and make these commitments, but sooner or later we all face challenges. Many of us have to juggle multiple commitments all at once, sometimes well, and sometimes we don't do that so well. Our jobs, our relationships with our friends and family, even the neighbors we don't know, our chores, our responsibilities, even the church will ask of you your time and your energy, all of which is balanced together, and we may cry out, we're only human. Although some of us don't really want to believe that because we might have to admit that we have limits. I get that. I feel like that sometimes. But these compounded commitments, they create challenges for us, and we can quickly feel burdened, especially when something goes awry or something takes more of us than we anticipated. For those seeking high school diplomas or college degrees this time of year, their commitment to their education will come with many challenges. They will have to push through long hours of studying, through fails, through F's and D's, and through raising your hand and not understanding the problem, times of confusion, and moments where they just want to give up. Those committed to their family, specifically a growing family, as I have found out, will be challenged by late nights with no sleep, moments of irritability when their child just won't sit still to change a diaper. Those committed to their jobs will be challenged by coworkers they work with, the hours that are demanded of them, not to mention the work itself. So whatever we have decided to commit ourselves to will come with challenges and require moments of struggle. And so what do we do when our commitments become too much for us to hold? How do we follow through with our yes that we made? Sometimes it's simply renegotiating them, seeking a healthier balance that allows us to honor our different commitments. Other times it's asking for help, knowing that you are in the midst of a season that is particularly challenging and it will soon pass. Yet there are times in life when we can't do it by ourselves. There are times when the best thing for ourselves and those around us is to let go, turn around, to quit. Some commitments are just too heavy to carry, and other commitments should take a priority. That's what the gospel is talking about. There is this one commitment where there is no turning back, a commitment that actually promises new life in the midst of struggle and challenge. And that commitment is to continue to follow Christ and with it, lead lives that reflect Christ's love, which was lived in solidarity with others, which, let's be honest, is a real challenge. In our gospel text this morning, Jesus is challenging the various commitments of the audience, telling them that he is the only way that leads to life. And this setting is a large public, very public gathering, filled with scribes and Pharisees. Jesus' many disciples are there, and there's probably some stragglers in the back row. And his lesson is complicated, making heavy use of metaphors and while stretching the understanding of his audience to the brink. And using Eucharistic theology, so often implored by the Gospel of John, Jesus says that he himself is the food that leads to eternal life. He was not only sent by God, but God is within him. He makes clear by using the Greek word for life four times that his actions and the activity of God is always and forever in the support of life for all. The challenge is to eat that living bread of Jesus. Those who consume his ways and teachings are called to commit their lives to the work of this radical love and compassion. A yes to this commitment leads to transformation. It also leads to a reprioritizing of one's commitments and ways in the world. Now, this teaching poses many challenges for the disciples. Either some may have not understood the metaphor of eating Jesus, which may have been a little awkward, or perhaps others knew Jesus enough to know he was calling them to take ownership and leadership of their own radical ministries of communal healing and works of justice. That is a challenge. Listen again to what happens. And this comes from the Message translation. Many among his disciples heard this and said, "This is a tough teaching, tough to swallow." Jesus sensed that his disciples were having a hard time with this and said, "Does this throw you completely? In other words, is my teaching too challenging for you?" He goes on to say, "What would happen if you saw the Son of Man ascending where he came from?" Alluding to the resurrection. Jesus is really testing their faith in him. He reminds them that their commitment to follow him does not mean the easiest road to travel or the safest or always having to know where it goes. And it may lead to life, but it involves public acts of love and often challenging cultural norms, which is not popular. They witness all of that in public. And many of the disciples have to rethink at that moment, do I really want to follow this man? Which is really our question. Do we really want to follow Jesus? Let us look at one of his core teachings, Matthew 25, where Jesus teaches that he is every person we pass who is a stranger, who is hungry or thirsty or naked. Tending to the needs of others is the way we care for Christ. Christ is the stranger. Christ is the one hungry and thirsty. What does that teaching look like today as we witness an ongoing humanitarian crisis in Afghanistan and thousands of people seeking refuge? Are we willing to voice publicly and advocate that our government accept refugees, knowing that that Christ is the Afghan refuge? As we witness 140 million Americans considered low wealth and income, are we willing to go to our neighbors in need and not only drop off resources, but welcome them as we would a family member, as Christ did in the Good News? Are we prepared to give up our lives, our comforts, our stability for the well-being of others? One may agree with the disciples, this is a tough teaching. What about Mark chapter 12, verse 31? Love your neighbor as yourself. To which Jesus added, there is no commandment greater. Out of all the things he did and said, this is the pinnacle of his teaching and ministry and acts of Jesus. Love your neighbor. Regardless of how you voted in the last general election, are we willing to follow Jesus and love that person or persons that voted differently from us, who believe differently than us, knowing that they are a child of God? I'm not talking about indifference or ignoring that person, but really going out of our way to show that we care and love others, knowing that we can love and disagree at the same time. Are we willing to see that our neighbor includes the air we breathe, the land we stand upon, the water we drink, the animals and wildlife we continue to abuse and misuse? To see all of creation as a neighbor in need, requiring this radical change to our way of life. Some may agree with the disciples that, yeah, this is tough teaching. We, as the body of Christ, the church, we are facing our own challenges right now. And if I may be blunt, we are falling short of really addressing it. No, it doesn't have anything to do with having more children in the pews, although that might be a symptom of this challenge. No, it's not that we need more money. Again, that might be a symptom of this challenge. This particular challenge is for each and every person of faith throughout time. And that is making the gospel of Jesus relevant for this moment. The world is thirsty for it. Christ beckons us to follow, to eat of this bread and this wine, to take up the cross. But it comes with challenges, especially in a world where there's some toxic politics and a lot of self-centeredness. But we know out of this, life is possible. This challenge leads to resurrections. This challenge leads to the only thing that makes us whole. The text says that many disciples turned back at this point. I'm done. I'm quitting. I'm out. Either they did not understand Jesus' teachings, or what Jesus was asking was just way, way too much. Or they were too worried about what their neighbors thought, or their friends, or their family, and they did not want to appear too radical, so they left. But some stayed, who trusted and believed Jesus and knew that sometimes the work of love is not neat and everyone will not agree. But through the toil and the struggle and the wrestling with the deeper troubles of the world, something beautiful, something new, something life-giving could burst from, I don't know, a tomb, a place where we thought was dead. And the 12 disciples, they stay by Jesus. They continue to practice a radical and public love. And yes, they're challenged. We know they're challenged. But they continue and persevere through those challenges. And they recommit themselves to the ministry of Christ. So friends, let every breath we take be a recommitment to the ways of love and the ways of Christ. And in all the challenges we face, let us remain by Christ's side. How's it go? No turning back. No turning back. Amen.